Welcome to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. It's our desire to see you cross over into God's plan for your life through the teaching of His Word. Coming up on Crossover Radio, Pastor Eric is continuing verse by verse through the Gospel of Matthew. So join us as we pick up in chapter 7, verse 1, and here's Pastor Eric.
Well, we've been looking on what's called the Sermon on the Mount, which began in chapter 5 and will close here in chapter 7. It's one complete teaching of Jesus that he did at one particular time, and it's recorded for us here in these three chapters. So chapter 7 is bringing us towards the end of the sermon. Jesus didn't say, okay, Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, here we go. And he was just teaching. But men have broken it down into chapters and verses, and so it helps us to navigate, you know, through the Bible. We are picking up with Jesus midstream. So he begins chapter 7 like this. He says, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the same measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the plank in your own eye?" Now, if there's one verse that people know out of the Bible, I mean, you might be a guy living on the side of the railroad tracks, you know, living off of pork and beans out of a tin can. But if there's one verse that you know out of the Bible, it's Matthew 7, 1, judge not. And so when someone comes up to you and tries to talk to you and tries to reason with you, you pull out your one Bible verse that you know. You don't know where it is in the Bible. You know, maybe Moses said it or somebody, I don't know, but judge not, meaning, hey, don't talk to me, don't tell me where I need to, change my life, don't talk to me about what's pleasing to God and what's not pleasing to God, don't judge me. And so people have really run with this, but I think what Jesus had in mind here, there's a couple of ways to look at it, but Jesus is trying to teach us not to be critical of one another. And I think that verses 3 through 5 really fill in the details of that, of not being critical of one another. Also, we really don't know the motives behind people's actions. So we should be careful about judging one another because we really don't know the motives that people have. And yet we have a tendency to feel like we have knowledge into what's going on in the heart and in the mind of other people, and we have a tendency to be critical. But Jesus, who knows all men, Jesus, who knows the accuracy of all things in all hearts, all motives and all intentions, says, judge not. I think it's a part of our sinful nature that's quick to be critical of other people. And it's very destructive. And so Jesus is warning us against it. It's interesting the way we're made up as people. Many times our criticalness is attached to our thoughts. Yes, we're critical in our thinking, but there's so much emotion attached to being critical. There's so much emotion attached to judging one another. You say, hey, I'm a rugged guy. I'm a man. I'm not emotional. You know, okay. Well, when the guys go fishing and they don't invite you, you get angry. You get hurt. Your feelings get hurt. Hey, you may be rough and tumble, but when we don't invite you on the fishing trip, it hurts your feelings. And so you have a tendency to judge. And what might your judgment possibly be? Those guys don't like me. They didn't invite me on the fishing trip. They don't like me. They don't want me around. And so we make a judgment, and this is the type of thing that Jesus is telling us not to do. It's not just with our mind that we make a judgment, but it's also very much attached to our emotions because our feelings got hurt. Now, maybe the guys get down to the boat and they say, you know, well, where's Fred? Well, didn't you invite him? No, I thought you were going to invite him. Well, what do you, nobody invited Fred? Oh, no. You know, and they're all out on the boat with a sad face, dropping their, you know, line in the water like, man, how could we have forgot Fred? Oh, he's going to be so bummed out. See, you don't know what's going on in the hearts of people, but Jesus does. And we are so quick to judge one another. It's attached to our emotions, and it has a tendency to really disrupt relationships. Think about how many friends that you have, true friends. How many of those friends have you been in a long-standing relationship with? You know, for most of us, we probably have very few long-standing friendships, and that's because somewhere along the way in life, someone did something, and we began to judge that circumstance. We began to distance ourselves from them. They noticed us distancing ourselves, so they distanced themselves, and pretty soon the relationship just went in two different directions. And so to be critical and to form opinions and to judge people's motives, it's very destructive. It's damaging. So Jesus is teaching us not to judge. Judge not, he says, that you be not judged. Well, who's the one judging us in return? Is it our fellow man? Could be. Is it the Lord? Could be. Jesus didn't say. Maybe it's both. That's why Jesus didn't nail it down to one thing. Notice what he says in verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the same measure you use it, it will be measured back to you." So, you don't get invited on the fishing trip. So you think, those guys don't like me. So I'm not going to just, you know, I'm not going to be warm towards them. So when the guys come back from the fishing trip, you know, they're like, well, what's the matter with Fred, man? He's not being cool to us. He must not like us. You see, with the same measure that you used, they don't like me. It's being measured back to you. They're saying, he didn't like us. And how many times things get spinning out of control, and people that are meaningful in our lives and relationships that were once fruitful, how they get pushed out of shape and broken apart and scattered abroad as a result of being critical, being emotional, forming opinion, forming a judgment, believing that we see into the situation in ways that we really don't, that we don't see clearly. So Jesus warns us against it. Now, as far as being overly critical, Jesus says this in verse 3, "Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye?" This is a question. It's a good question. Why do you consider the tiny speck in your brother's eye and do not consider the big plank in your own eye? Why would you do such a thing? Because you're a sinner. Because your nature is fallen. So I was talking to my kids about this verse this week, and I got myself a graham cracker, and I was able to pinch the graham cracker between my cheek and my eyebrow, so it looked like a big old plank coming out of my eye. And how funny it looked when I was talking about the little speck that's in your eye. Hey, dude, I think you got a little speck in your eye. Let me get it out. And the guy's looking back at you, and you got this big old plank or graham cracker sticking out of your eye. Listen, if you have such a problem that it's the size of a plank, how is it that you're not paying attention to that, but you're going after the speck in the eyes of your brother and sisters around you? Why would you do that? Well, because it's easier to deal with your problems than it is to deal with mine. That's why we would do that. Jesus is trying to arise the knowledge of that within us. Jesus says in verse 4, "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck out of your eye,' and look, there's a plank in your own eye. Jesus says, hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, notice, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck out of your brother's eye. This is very, very true. When we learn to deal with ourselves, when we learn to examine ourselves and to realize that there's a lot that God wants to change within us, when we're able to come to that place in humility and self-examination, when we come to that place where we realize, man, I cannot change myself, when we realize, Jesus, I need you to change me, when we start calling out to God for his transforming power, when we're in that place, when we're carrying that type of a humble spirit and attitude, then maybe we are useful to help someone else get the speck out of their eye. Because we have the humility that's necessary. Because we have the awareness that we have no more power than anybody else. Because we have the awareness that only Jesus is the answer. And as we approach someone in that spirit, they're more open to hearing from us. They don't feel like we're talking down to them. So Jesus says, first get that big old graham cracker out of your eye, that plank out of your eye. Then you will see clearly. You see, you'll have the wisdom that you need. Then you'll see clearly to be able to help your brothers and sisters. So Jesus doesn't want the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount just to fall into the mouths of the teachers. Oh, I heard the Sermon on the Mount. Now let me teach you. No, he wants it to fall into the hearts of the people, that then coming under the lordship of Jesus Christ themselves, then they'll see clearly how to disciple others. Now in verse 6, Jesus says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before a swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now in verse 1, he says, judge not. In verse 2, he's teaching us to discriminate. Discrimination is a sort of a bad word in our culture today. But Jesus is teaching us here to discriminate and to make judgment calls. But he's not calling us to judge people's hearts, but he's calling us to have to go ahead and make a proper assessment of the situation. Now, when he says here, do not give what is holy to the dogs, or do not cast your pearls before swine. Now, let's say you had a little pig in the backyard, right? Hey, if my kids had their way, we probably would have a pig in the backyard. Well, the pig turns one. It's his birthday, okay? So my daughter probably, because she's a girl, said, well, look, I got a pearl necklace for Pinky, the little pig. And so she's going to go out and put the pearl necklace on Pinky the pig. But when Cerise goes out and shows Pinky, look at the pearl necklace I got you. Is the pig going to care? No. Does the pig appreciate the pearl necklace? No. Does the pig understand the value? Absolutely not. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Look, you're submitting yourself to the lordship of Jesus Christ. You're coming under his discipleship. You're learning humility and sensitivity and care towards people. But you need to be careful, because you can't just go and share things with anybody at any time. Because it's like casting your pearls before a swine. They don't recognize the value. They don't care. They're not interested. And in a worst case scenario, they'll turn and tear you to pieces. You ever done that before? You're maybe sharing the gospel with someone and, you know, you're trying to love on them and they just turn and tear you to pieces. And you're like, okay, dude, you don't want to talk about it? That's cool. You know, I care for you. That's the only reason I brought it up. Jesus is warning against that. So we are to discriminate. We are to use good judgment. When Jesus says, judge not, he's not asking us to put our brains on the shelf, but not to be critical and not to pretend we know what's going on in people's hearts. In Proverbs, one particular place is Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 9. We have the wisdom of using discrimination. Proverbs 9, verses 7 through 9 says this. It says, he who reproves a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man gets himself a blemish. You rebuke a wicked man, he's going to punch you in the face. You need to be wise. You need to be discriminate in what you share with who you share. The guy in Proverbs goes on to say, do not reprove a scoffer lest he hate you. Rather, rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a just man and he will increase in learning. So we need to be careful as we are in fellowship with one another and seeking to move forward in the things of the Lord. You'll notice that as you fellowship with certain people, as you begin to talk about certain subjects, the conversation starts to turn bad because they might not be ready to receive it yet. And though you're trying to be a disciple and you're hoping that they're trying to be a disciple, you see that there are just certain things that people really cannot receive yet. They're still resisting the Lord along certain lines. And so we need to be wise about that. We need to use our heads in the situation. So Jesus instructs us there concerning that. You say, well, I need wisdom. I need wisdom in all of this. Well, Jesus gets then to how we can find that wisdom. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now, really, what's going on in the chapter is all tied together. You could take verses 1 through 6 about judging not, and it's a sermon on its own. That's okay. Perfectly fine. You could take verses 7 through 11, and you could talk about prayer and just focus on that paragraph and just talk about prayer. That's fine. But really, as you examine the whole chapter, it's all tied together, one thing leading to the next. So we don't want to judge. We don't know why we didn't get asked on the fishing trip. Kind of hurt, kind of upset. What do I do? Seek the Lord in prayer. Try not to judge your brothers, but try to seek the Lord. Ask the Lord. So Jesus says, ask here. Ask, seek, and knock. Those words are in the tense in the Greek language, which could be translated this way: ask and keep on asking, seek, keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking. So Jesus is saying, pray about it. Be consistent in prayer and seek the Lord. And look at the reward. Ask and it will be given to you. That's the promise. As you ask and ask and ask, God's going to answer you. It's a promise to you. Jesus says, seek and you will find. The Bible says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. And God won't upbraid of him. God won't chastise him for asking. Jesus talked about being persistent in prayer. He gave the parable about the unjust judge, the widow coming and asking the judge for help. The judge would not help her, but because she came all the time, the judge got weary and said, all right, lady, I'll give you whatever you want. Jesus used that as an illustration because our Heavenly Father is good. He's not an unjust judge. He's a good God. And will he not answer his own elect? Jesus said, yes, even speedily, though he is bearing long with them. Though the answer is sometimes tarried, yet when the Lord answers, he'll answer speedily. And he is, God considers consistent and faithful prayer. We're being encouraged here. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. So be encouraged in your prayer. Keep knocking. God's going to open doors in his own time and in his own way. Jesus says, for everyone who asks receives. You see that in the text? Everyone who asks receives. Jesus said that men ought to always pray and not to lose heart. And yet he asked the question, but when I come again, will I really find faith on the earth? Listen, you're in this passage. Everyone who asks receives. So ask. And he who seeks does find. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. We are to be persistent and faithful in prayer. But God is faithful in answering. That's what verses 9 through 11 are about. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? So you can see Jesus. His point is that in the midst of needing discernment and in the midst of needing help not to judge, we should ask God. But Jesus uses the occasion of talking about prayer to sort of expand on the value of prayer. He expands first on the value of us being persistent, but then he expands secondly on the goodness and the faithfulness of God to answer. The goodness and the faithfulness of God to answer. Listen, you're a dad, you're a mom. And when one of your kids comes to you and asks you for something, you're happy to give it to them, aren't you? As a matter of fact, around Christmas time, you spend quite a bit of hours thinking about what presents you want to get for your kids, as if they already haven't given you a list with, 50 items on it, but it's within your heart. You want to see them come out on Christmas morning and find that shiny bicycle in front of the Christmas tree. The question is, can you afford it? But it's in your heart to answer. It's in your heart to bless. Jesus goes, look, if you're, you being evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father who is in heaven, how much more will he give good things to those who ask him? So be persistent in prayer. For your heavenly Father is abundant in goodness and desire to answer prayer. Notice verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Now, that word therefore is completely out of place. Unless the whole chapter is tied together. It really doesn't make sense. Unless what Jesus is saying is something like this. Hey, listen, judge not. Oh, and by the way, don't cast your pearls before swine. Well, Lord, how can I know what to do? Ask. Ask and you shall receive. Because whatever you want men to do to you, you also should be doing to them. So the word therefore challenges me as a Bible teacher to string it together and connect it together. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do you want them to judge you? Do you want them to be critical towards you? Do you want them to believe that they know what's going on in your heart when they really don't? No. Then whatever you want men to do to you, do to them likewise.
You've been listening to Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble, a ministry of Calvary Chapel Crossover in Brea, California. If you're interested in hearing this message again, go to our website, crossoverradioministry.com, and while you're there, send us an email to let us know you're listening at crossoverradioministry@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to write, you can do so at P.O. Box 1673, Brea, California, 92821. Be sure to include the call letters of this station so we know where our radio ministry is being effective. Have you ever wondered where the Bible came from? Well, if so, Pastor Eric Tribble has just released a new ebook entitled How We Got Our Bible. In this book, Pastor Eric covers topics such as how the Old and New Testaments were developed, how we can know that the Bible is truly from God, who decided what books would be in the Bible, why there's so many translations, and much more. You can read a sample of how we got our Bible and purchase this ebook for under $1 by going to crossoveroc.com. That's crossoveroc.com. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time on Crossover Radio with Pastor Eric Tribble.